Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
It's Austin, Texas country. We're 95.9, also heard at 98.5. 8:13 this November the 18th. Before we move on, I do want to just bring up the fact that we talked football earlier, and we went right past this, but it's not worth going past. November 18th, 1999, the Texas Aggie bonfire collapse 26 years ago today, killing 12 students, injuring 27 others. So we think of our Aggie brethren today on the anniversary of the bonfire collapse.
That redefined the relationship.
Big time.
You can still go to College Station today, and they can come here, and you don't have to worry about your vehicle or being assaulted. Yeah. And it had gotten really bad.
Oh, it had.
Horrible. Yeah.
And this is a day that we all have to come together.
Yeah, this is the anniversary today. Yeah. So and Thanksgiving can be early or late. I'm not sure if we're late this year or that one was early, because we're 9 days away, a week from this Thursday. Well, we have reached the time that we've been saying all morning, rather than do stories and bits and pieces of the odyssey that Eric and his family have been living through, that we would have, for lack of a better term, call it the Eric Raines interview right now. Eric is back with us this morning from his home studio in Salado, Texas, which is beautiful, by the way. Dennis has come in another day to help with the transition. As hopefully Eric is back, but there's a lot to lay out here. Let's start what so many of our listening family know. Was it September 27, maybe?
Something? No, 25th, I think.
25th, when Terry came to the radio program, and all the years you've been on the radio, you know, she'd never been on the radio program, even apparently by telephone, you know, and shared with us during Ovarian Cancer Month her original stage 4 diagnosis, going back 5 years, over 5 years. And at that point, she had received news from MD Anderson that she would have probably 3 to 6 months, but had absolutely no symptoms whatsoever. And there was a lot of reality to try to fend off and accept at that time. Eric, it looks like it was ended up being September, October, less than 3 months, because once her symptoms, debilitation, if you will, started, it went pretty dang fast.
Yeah, it did, unfortunately. And, of course, I mean, 5 years of this, there's the anticipatory grief that you deal with, that you know, the day that she found out she had cancer, you start thinking about the what ifs of life. And, you know, when it did happen, when she started going downhill, you know, there was an ER visit right after Halloween or right before Halloween, the week before Halloween, there was an ER visit. And I went to Tech, which was taking, we was parents' weekend, and I had driven up there, and she didn't feel like going, so I drove by myself and then turned around and came back the following day. And by the time she got home that Saturday, you know, Terry, through this whole thing, probably cried twice. You know, there was never a feel sorry for myself or why me.
That you know, saw or you think, period?
That I saw. I'm sure she has some friends that she probably confided in, but that I saw. Part of that was for me because she knows I'm a little baby and cry, and I probably will just having this conversation right now. I'll try. But that Sunday when, you know, she's laying in the bed having a conversation with me, she said, I think this is the beginning of the end. And that was maybe a week and a half before she passed. So she knew, she felt it and kind of thought that it was coming, you know, right after that initial ER visit that she had.
At the same time, I recall on that very Sunday, you telling me she was upset because she said, I don't think I can go to work tomorrow.
Yeah.
And she wanted to.
She wanted to go to hair, go and do hair. I mean, that was, I mean, there were people texting her, hey, are you going to be able to do my hair? And you realize that, I mean, that was her therapy for other people. And it was one of the parts that I got through that a lot that, you know, Terry was good about loving on people and smiling through the whole thing and giving them a gift of not just a haircut or style or extensions or whatever, but making their day with a smile. And that was part of, you know, I gathered that just from the conversations I've had over the last 2.5-3 weeks.
You know, your priest, by the way, I got to add this. What is his name?
Father John.
Last name, though, an Italian name.
Not sure.
You're not sure?
No.
just Father John.
That's all I've ever called him.
I love that guy.
Oh, yeah. He's very boisterous and will tell you exactly the way he thinks.
At her tribute to Memorial Mass, he said, you know, he's learned over the years there are three professions where people are really the where the rubber meets the road. They're the real psychologists and therapists of life. And they're barbers, hairdressers, I think he said bartenders, and taxi drivers, Uber drivers, or whatever.
Yeah.
And he talked about, that was his short message, is yet we all have that role in life. Even if your congregation or your customer base or your friendship base is one person, that's who you minister to through your actions, at least by listening and living life in the way that sets the example, as Terry did. That was so powerful, and what a blessing that to Father John, man.
Big time. Yeah, I mean, I sense that from Terry's customers over the years that have, you know, reached out to me and stood up and talked, and you know, the messages that they've given to me are just strangers that I never met that came up either in visitation or reached out on however. But yeah, she was that to a lot of people. And I do think that on a daily basis, and if I remember Father John's message, is that if you can't afford a therapist, and most of us on some level can't or haven't, that became your therapist, whether it's the person that cut your hair, the bartender, or your Uber or taxi driver. So yeah, she was that for a lot of people.
Yeah, so then from there, It just all, you couldn't clock it with a radar gun. It seemed to happen so fast.
No, it happened real fast to the point where we had planned a Thanksgiving. Terry's favorite holiday is Thanksgiving. Not Christmas or any, it's Thanksgiving, but it's all about, for her, was family. It was one of the main things that made me one of the many that fall in love with her, because there was always family around her from the moment that I went over her house and, you know, met her family. It was family and friends, so for her, Thanksgiving was her favorite holiday because she knew all the family would be together. And the biggest smiles and the happiest I've ever saw her was during that holiday. So we had a feeling that she wasn't going to make it to Thanksgiving. So we had planned to put a Thanksgiving together for the following Saturday, which would have, my days are gone, but would have been 2 Saturdays ago. And turns out, you know, I had some friends came over that were nurses and doctors to visit her, and then got a hold of her brother and said, you need to come home, meaning he needs to come see her. We don't think she's going to make it to Saturday. And that was a blessing because he was about to get, and this is her brother Billy, he was about to get on a flight and go take a trip and get on some boats that he would have never been able to be around
And somebody wiser than me said, you need to stop what you're doing and turn around and come. And so he showed up that Saturday, changed all his plans, and that's when it progressed. And then the door was open for everybody. And Terry, until her dying day, the day she passed away, sat in a chair and, you know, we had the conversation with her. Do you want hospice to come in? And she was like, no, I want to hang on for all those people that didn't know me, that were praying for me, and the ones that did know me. So she sat in a chair and said hello and smiled and told everybody through tears that it was mainly other people crying, that don't worry about me. I'm going to go see Jesus, and I'm going to go see, you know, my dad and her mom. And she was faithful to the end. But even the day that she passed, she sat in the chair up there, and she would nod off and then wake up when she's, you know, a friend would show up. So that was to the last day her way of giving back and letting everybody know it's okay.
I remember so well that when the final moments were coming, it ended up back at the hospital, but you got her home where she wanted to be.
Yeah, the hospital thing was... And I won't go through that too much because I still have...
That
one was bad. The ER was bad and nothing to do with the hospital, but just the way it kind of went through. But we got her home. I'll leave that scary part out. And she had an episode at the house. We got her to the ER, and there was 5 or 6 hours in the ER, and she had gotten Narcan because she had a do not resuscitate, and... long story longer. Her time at the ER was not great, but we got her home in a truck because couldn't find an ambulance, and we got her dressed, and a beautiful angel nurse cleaned her up while I showered up and put her in a dress that I'm sure she hated because she was not a dress person. And family gathered around and we lost her. And it's interesting because my mom was out of the room when my dad passed. And we talked about Terry's mom, and Terry's last wishes and hurt was knowing that she was going to be gone early. And she had lost her mom when she was 47 years old. Her mom passed, Terry's did, to cancer, 47. So she knew what her kids were going to go through. And that was her angst. That she had a challenge with. But her mom also passed away when her dad was out of the room. And we always talked about that. We'd had conversations even leading up until the week. And so hospice was here, but she was on her final minutes, breaths, and we could tell. We're gathered around the bed, and hospice had asked me to go out of the room because they didn't want me to sign papers. And I kept going, no, I'm gonna tuck my head back in here and keep checking the final seconds of her life. Sure enough, and I'm pretty sure this happens for a reason, she waited till I walked out of the room, and that's when she took her last breaths. And it was just hard, and it was beautiful, and she did get to talk to the priest and do last rites. But yeah, to lose your wife that way, and it went really quick, but it was tough, and it still is. And it's tough for the kids. You know, you grieve is tough to, and again, I tell everybody I went through this knowing that grief is going to eventually be here, and it was going to end, and how would I deal with it, and being alone in this house. But you go through it for your kids too, because you're so worried about them, and you kind of grieve through them. And even driving my son back last Friday, and you know, my stoic 21-year-old who was having a hard time with this, and having some good windshield time with him, 6 hours. And then I decided, because he was like, Dad, I'm going to take a nap, and I'm going to go to sleep, and then I'm going to hang with my friends. And his cat had peed on me, Bob, on the way to Lubbock. So,
like, not a little bit?
No, it was a good while, like he was mad at me or something. So I end up turning around and driving back by myself, and that was really the first time that I'm in this.
Because
by myself for 6 hours
after, really good. After she passed.
Yeah.
I remember
it was good windshield time, and it was good alone time. And I listened to a lot of music, and I listened to a song from Wade Bowen called Car Ride Home for about 5 hours.
Called what?
Away. It's called Car Ride Home.
Oh, my gosh.
And it's about losing somebody in those 5 hours that you go through on that trip. And I text Wade. I'm like, I think you wrote this song for me. And he didn't write it, but I think it was written for me. So just the grief process of fighting for your joy. And that's where it is right now for me as far as just trying to get a breath and come up with, you know, and every single person that's reached out in different ways. I mean, people have sent me money that have never met my wife, that have that listened to her that day that she came in September, or followed the journey and know nothing of my kids, have never met them, but have listened to the journey on the radio. And, I can't begin to say thank you enough for the outpouring of prayers and just love that have come in since this has happened.
And thank you for doing this. There is so much more that folks should know and want to know. Not to protract it, but we do. But know this, that as word got out very quickly that she had passed, the absolute engulfing tsunami of support that was so impressive began to play out, to where, you know, Eric was saying to me, there's always 50 people in my house. And then by the time he turns around, he's alone in the house. And, but this is not to tease it like inappropriately, but Eric was prepared to come back to work Monday. But then Eric ended up in the hospital again. We'll take you through that. If you can hang in there until we get back with the next segment.
I don't know if I can.
Yeah. But it will get us to where we are in this road that you have navigated, as I've said to you privately for years now, like nobody could possibly do. And we have to hear it and learn from it. Because there's a reason, and you're like the best guy in the world, unfortunately, to share that with folks. And we'll do that in just a few moments. Eric Raines back with us. He is in his home studio once again this morning. From Austin, this is 95.9 Texas Country. Back in a moment.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
At Designer Shoe Warehouse, we believe that shoes are an important part of, well,
everything. From first steps to first dates, from all-nighters to all-time personal bests.
From building pillow forts to building a life.
For all the big and small moments that make up your whole world, DSW is there. And we've got just the shoes. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love at brag-worthy prices at your DSW store or DSW.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Whatever happens today, plan to conquer it with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. True North Convenience Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. Our brew is truly perfect for any time of the day. During October and November, enter for a chance to win free coffee for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or find the mobile app in your favorite app store. Offer valid 10/7 through 12/1. True Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
I'm caught up in the game. My attention is on every play and every whistle. But what I'm missing is a signal coming from my kidneys. That signal isn't like a ref's whistle. It's more of a silent SOS, which could be warning me of an increased risk for events like heart attack or stroke. and a way I can catch that signal? A simple urine test called UACR. If you have type 2 diabetes or high blood pressure, talk to your doctor about the UACR test. Detect the SOS. Visit detecttheSOS.com to learn more.
One of Eric Rain's absolute favorite artists, Leroy Parnell. And what kind of fool you think I am? Not at all, my friend. Leroy Parnell on 95.9 out of Austin, Texas. Texas country. Available at 98.5 in Milam County, Lee County. Available also on the Odyssey app. Available at 95.5 HD3. Now, page two, part two of the Eric Rains interview. We didn't see it yet. We should have seen this coming. So much more to tell. Eric Rains from the home studio, by the way, if you're just joining us, and had scheduled to be back here, had hoped to be, though he was under no pressure, I want you to know that, to be, but he wanted to be back yesterday. But where we left off, the planning and the services, I got to tell you, just because Eric's not going to tell you this, the visitation and the rosary, there was a line that just snaked through everywhere. And I went and cut the line. Finally, I stood in line a while and I said, well, I'm going to see him tomorrow. And I snuck up from the back and said, hey, love you. And Eric was smiling and treating everybody with a countenance that is just unbelievable. And so were his sons and family. And then I left that, and my wife was back still in line. I go, well, I can't leave. So, yeah, that was the beginning of the support. The Mass the next day. This big two-level church there in Temple. St. Luke.
I call it St. Luke's, too, but there's no S.
Just one Luke, and one that's a saint. And two levels, people standing in the back, and just the most fitting and deserved of memorials, and that's what you tend to say, you know, but it really was. Then the next day, the interment, the burial, which was private with family and just a few. But along the way, Eric starts feeling, along with other family members, the symptoms of the flu, but you gotta power through it. Don't know if that had anything to do with it, but as you may know, listening regularly, Eric misses a lot of football games late on Sunday because he plays in a band that plays at a early Sunday evening church mass every single Sunday. So he went back to do that and take it from there.
Yeah, I don't want to go too far into some other things that happened to me, but yeah, I was getting flu symptoms and feeling flu-y, and why would you go there if you... And it hadn't completely hit, and I never got a fever, so I felt like, and I told the guys, and they're like, no, show up. We want you to be here, and, you know, I want you to be around us, and you probably need to. And so I show up and start getting, we rehearse for an hour, and I go up there for rehearsal at 4 o'clock, and I'm talking to the guys about some other things and that I, again, would rather not talk about. They're happening to me that all of a sudden, along with these viral or flu effects that's going on, and I looked up the, you know, what happens if this happens to your body, and it kind of freaked me out a little bit. Next thing I know, we're, you know, saying the prayer, and it's time to rehearse, and I start getting dizzy, and the room starts spinning, and I look up, and I say, I'm getting dizzy. And then I know from the fact that I'm a pass out guy that I've passed out a lot for whatever reason, I have that in me, that I need to get to the ground. So I go to the ground and, you know, the guys are around me and they're like, dude, you're sweating really bad.
And you feel like that's the same symptoms when you had your Widowmaker heart attack in February.
I don't sweat at all. Even working out or whatever, I may just get a little sweat under my armpits. Then I start getting the blackout tinglies and start seeing dots. And I'm like, oh, and I'm in my head, I'm thinking, I'm having another heart attack right here in the church, upstairs. And so they call an ambulance. And frankly, I was okay with that because so they get me down the stairs, EMT, ambulance is right there. I mean, they're literally their hub is out in the parking lot right around the corner. So they get there quickly and get me down the stairs and get me in the ambulance. This is my third ambulance ride, and I'm just sitting there, shaking my head and feeling terrible and whatever's going on. My third ambulance ride in less than a year, and I'm over at the ER. And remember I talked about the ER visit with Terry that was traumatic to me and the kids and everyone else that was a part of it. And I was saying, please, Lord, do not put me in that same room. And they did not. And so I was 6 hours in the ER just going through mainly some issues that I was having. And then they were worried about, did I have another heart attack, or did this whole stress thing and whatever going trigger another heart attack? And at the end of it all, it did not, although I have a urologist appointment and a cardiac appointment this Thursday. And so it was 5 hours and just sitting there in the ER Sunday night, which is why Monday I decided I'm gonna sit it out. And then here we are today. And I still have some symptoms of flu or virus or whatever that is going on that I'm fighting. But that was pretty much my extent. And, having the priest come up and pray over me there, and just, it was so surreal. I'm like, really? All this is going on? And you can't have anything, Bob, at church that doesn't get out really quickly. So 20 minutes into it, my phone is blowing up and all of Bell County has heard that Eric's back in the hospital. Hopefully nothing, although I have cardiologist appointments on Thursday and a couple of other appointments. Hopefully, if you got a prayer left in you, just pray that I can get through this and come out on the other side, because I'm terrified that I'm like, with all the bad things that have happened, I'm like, surely I'm not going to, what else could go wrong? No, don't ever say that in life, because it will. It's kind of felt that way here lately.
One of the things I've concentrated on, and it sounds like I'm saying, hey, amidst all this, count your blessings. But you happened to share something with me, and I haven't brought it back up to you. So why not now on the radio? You said that attending emergency room doctor and the resident or whatever, are going through your records at that very hospital when you were there in February for a massive heart attack. And
yeah.
What did they tell you?
Well, they found out that I had a heart attack, and you think that they all know exactly what happened, but they have to go look, and they're in the ER. It's
not triage. The same docs, yeah.
Yeah, they're going one to the other, and if you've ever been in the ER, it's just craziness, and you hear people screaming in the background and ooh. Other things going on, and clearly Sunday night in Temple at Scott and Wyatt, there was a lot going on. But he came in there and pulled up my charts, and he said, you are absolutely lucky to even be here. A couple more minutes with the kind of heart attack that you had, you wouldn't be alive. Most people don't make it through, and because he looked at my before and after of my LAD, widowmaker heart attack, and just was a little bit in shock that I was sitting there right now. And that was why the worry, and they did blood work too a couple different times just to make sure that wasn't actually happening again. But he used the word blessed. He's like, you're blessed to still be around.
How about that?
Yeah.
And you're not feeling blessed at the moment.
No, I'm not feeling blessed.
That resonated so much that, you have taken your recuperation seriously, which not everybody does, especially after they start feeling kind of okay again, now they're back to eating or whatever. And it's not necessarily been all that easy since February for you physically, let alone emotionally and all with everything else. But you've taken care of yourself, and had you not done that before, because people said, well, you were just coming from working out when you had the heart attack.
Yeah.
Had you not been working out,
all the cardiologists said I wouldn't have made it.
You would have been, in the category that third set of eyes appraised. Yeah.
And my oldest reminded me that I would, it was like I wouldn't have had any parents.
Oh.
Because my mom would have been gone, and he jokingly said I would have been Batman. I thought, okay. A blessing, I guess. And clearly I was left here for a reason. A lot of people have told me that, because knowing that Terry's no longer here and that I made it through that, there's a plan. I'm trying to figure out that plan. I'm asking for those prayers for that plan on a daily basis, and fighting for my joy is what I, when people ask, and I get it. Everyone's asked me, and then they go, that's a stupid question. How are you? I don't know how I am. I don't know how to feel right now. I mean, it's just one breath at a time, and some of them are hard and up and down. Dennis compared it to a balloon that's letting out air, and it goes up and down, and grief is a roller coaster.
You just hope that balloon doesn't land in the toilet, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Or the ER.
So, yeah, I mean, that was embarrassing.
And, if it does, you get out.
It's just frustrating, and, you know, and I want to start feeling better and, you know, try to start taking those steps toward, you know, what is the new normal and getting back to work. And everybody's like, hey, you need to get back, and that'll kind of get you in the right frame of mind. And believe me, I want to, because again, it's 5 years that we've been going through this, and it's always been a we. But the trying to imagine what it's like, and you never want to give up, and I never did on my wife, but you always want to think about, okay, if that happened, what would my life be like? And so the anticipatory grief is real. And I say that because I know someone out there probably is going through this or maybe afraid of going through this. I had so many people reach out about Terry and how strong she was and how, you know, she went to the radio. And I asked her. Terry was never one to want to get on the radio and talk. But in the moment of, maybe you can help somebody, and she realized, and there were a lot of people that reached out on her strength and hopefully reaching out to women to go get tested. And her big plea was, listen to your body, which we all should, and we're guys are the dumbest. We you know, when something's going on, we don't listen to our body. But the trying to figure out what's next is the hard part right now. And you know, trying to help my kids and help them through this. So, yes, I will be getting a grief counselor, and I've talked to my kids, and we will all be trying to kind of figure this out, and not opposed to having someone talk to them. But just trying to one day at a time and one breath at a time. And yes, the words I use, fighting for my joy. So when somebody asks me, how are you? I'm okay, but I'm just okay. And just trying to figure out what's life going to look like for me next. And trying to smile and
you do that well. I don't know how. Your sons, by the way, Ben, who's out back in school at Lubbock, he is how old?
He's 21.
And Brian is?
He's 19.
I brought this up to you with Dennis off the air a couple hours ago. One of my outstanding memories of this odyssey you've been through, 5+ years ago, you sharing with me how it broke her heart, was breaking your heart when she was diagnosed originally and not knowing what the future would be, and, you know, stage 5, stage 4. It appeared really, uncertain at best. And what was getting her the hardest, and I have seen this in other folks, is I'm not going to be there when my two children graduate high school. She got to be there for both.
Yeah, I mean, that was her, you know, I said she hadn't cried a lot. And early on, I'm trying not to, she wanted to make it through high school, let them graduate. And she did. And my oldest now is really close to graduating college. And yes, he had to withdraw from this last semester so he could come home and watch his, you know, be with his mom. And I'm glad he did.
Mm-hmm.
I would love to see him walk down the aisle or graduate from Texas Tech. But I've also told him, I'm like, your mom could care less if you graduate. She just wants both of y'all to be happy. And that's it. And that's the only thing we want for our kids. I think anybody listening that has kids, you know, we want them to accomplish those goals that are set in front of them. But at the end, it's just like, can we find happiness for our kids? That's why we had them. And then we try to do the best we can. So, yes, she did get to see our kids graduate high school, which was a big, momentous day for both of them. And she was, you know, we were afraid 5 years ago. And, you know, we both looked it up 5 years ago, June 26th, when she was diagnosed. what the outcome was, which you should never get online and look up if you have an ailment and look up what the, and it was 4 years, and she made it 5 years and some change. So that was one of the blessings in it that, yeah, again, I'll go back to earlier if you missed it. Her biggest fear and regret is she lost her mom, Terry did, when she was 47. So the fact that she knew that her kids would grow up the same way she did, not being around for her mom. So, I mean, my goal is to be mom and dad right now and to help my kids through the grieving part and to move them forward through all of this. And again, I'll say it again to everybody that thought, sent a good thought for Terry and me and my kids, showed up. The GoFundMe over the years, the, you know, when Chef's put on the benefit and help raise money. I just say thank you. I don't know where to start on that. And the blessings were felt.
You've done still it. Yes.
Yeah, real quick, Eric. You know, I think you also got a really good blessing with the fact that Terry did the radio interview, right? So you have a, you have her voice. So when that time comes that you start forgetting what Terry sounded like, and that's going to be years down the road.
He put part of her voice from that in the movie and slideshow at the Mass.
But you've
it was
got,
so moving.
You and the boys have, that was a blessing I think she gave you guys, because you have her voice and you can hear her talk. And when you start, not start, you do already miss her, but when that voice starts fading, you've got something you can listen to and hear her voice again and remember her for.
Wouldn't recommend you do it right away, though.
No.
But I don't know. I'm not a professional.
But I'm just saying, it's just a, it sort of was a blessing in disguise and a gift she gave you guys.
The gift that she gave everyone at the end, and I clipped it and put it in the slideshow, and I knew there would be some gravity to it because it was Terry at the beginning, at the end, when she sat in the chair, when she talked to people and they were worried about her or worried about the kids. The last thing really in her slideshow, it says, "I'm going to be okay. I'm going to be with Jesus."
Can't believe you got that out, brother. Way to go. Well, that completes the Eric Raines interview for now, and there will be more to add to this chapter.
I just say thank you. Again, thank you, and that's all I got.
Don't feel pressure on that. Believe me, everyone knows, and that's the last thing. And returning to work, that's been that difficult. Like you said, the guys at church said, you need to be around us and be in the band, and I get that. And I know there'll be therapy having watched you the last 5 years here, but only when you're ready. So if you don't be on from the house tomorrow, plus you've got to go knock out this new potential major issue, maybe not, because you passed out, could be related to something else that doctors always got to go chase. And our prayers continue with even more focus and understanding. So thank you, as always, for being so upfront about what's going on. It will help others. And when people love you and care about you and invest in believing in you and knowing you, you've always believed they deserve to know. And I want to thank you for continuing to have the strength at a time that it just would be humanly impossible to do. And you do it. And when we come back, we're going to talk about George Strait or something.
Please.
Yeah. But love you, my friend. And I will tell you, I'm not worried about your sons either. Being around them through this and watching them watch you, watching half that church unable to breathe in oxygen when Brian, as you followed the casket down the center aisle of the cathedral, unscripted, puts his arms over your shoulder and you over him, and we saw that love. And then at the burial the next day, of course, Eric says, "Hey, Ben, this is Bob Cole. Have you met him?" And he says, "Dad, 300 times, every time you say, do you know Bob?" And you responded well. All right, we're going to take the old timeout right here and be back with a final hour of Eric and Bob with Dennis Ferris right here on 95.9.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Whatever happens today, plan to conquer it with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. True North Convenience Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. Our brew is truly perfect for any time of the day. During October and November, enter for a chance to win free coffee for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or find the mobile app in your favorite app store. Offer valid 10/7 through 12/1. True Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
In a world of endless notifications, there could be an important one you're missing. Your kidneys may be signaling an SOS. With high blood pressure or type 2 diabetes, your kidneys could be warning you of early signs of damage, which may put you at higher risk for events like heart attack or stroke. But there's a simple test that can help spot a hidden signal. Ask your doctor about a urine test called UACR to help detect kidney disease and heart risk early. To learn more, visit detectthesos.com today.
Did you know your credit card points and miles can lose value to inflation? Credit card companies often reduce the redemption value of your points and miles. Now, imagine a credit card with rewards that can grow in value. With the Gemini credit card, you can earn Bitcoin or one of over 50 other cryptos instantly with no annual fee. Every swipe at the store or gas pump earns you instant rewards deposited straight to your account. Plus, sign up now for a $200 Bitcoin bonus to kickstart your rewards. Visit Gemini.com/card today. Check out the link in the description for more information on rates and fees. Again, if you're looking to invest in Bitcoin but don't know where to start, the Gemini credit card makes it easy.
The Gemini credit card is issued by WebBank. In order to qualify for the $200 crypto intro bonus, you must spend $3,000 in your first 90 days. Terms apply. Some exclusions apply to instant rewards in which rewards are deposited when the transaction posts. This content is not investment advice, and trading crypto involves risk. For more details on rates, fees, and other cost information, see rates and fees. The Gemini credit card may not be used to make gambling-related purchases.